We are in Come Follow Me week 43, which is Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And I want to start with a talk that Elder Holland gave in October of 2020 called Waiting on the Lord. And this is what he says. One's life cannot be both faith-filled and stress-free. It simply will not work to glide naively through life, saying, as we sip another glass of lemonade, Lord, give me all thy choicest virtues, but be certain not to give me grief, nor sorrow, nor pain, nor opposition. Please do not let anyone dislike me or betray me. And above all, do not ever let me feel forsaken by thee or those I love. In fact, Lord, be careful to keep me from all the experiences that made thee divine. And then please let me come and dwell with thee where I can boast about how similar our strength and our characters are as I float along on my cloud of comfortable Christianity. Christianity is comforting, but it is often not comfortable. That was the quote that came to mind as I read in these chapters, in these books, and started to kind of think of what came to mind and what I felt the message was. And so now I want to start in Philemon. Philemon is just one book, but chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. I loved that. I thought of Elma, the younger, giving his blessings to his three sons and thought of his blessing to Shiblon, where he said, I have had great joy in thee already. And Shiblon has been stoned for the word's sake and just proven to be this great vessel of the Lord. And I love that thought of, I know you will do more than even I say. You are so centered on the Lord. Okay, so now I want to start in Timothy. And we're in chapter 1, and I want to go to verse 12. And it says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. And I love that thought. I thought of us being his team, being parents in the gospel, that he would trust us to raise children, that we have families, that we are called to be teachers in the gospel and be in presidencies, that he trusts us that much. And it just is touching to me that he gives us this opportunity to be made more. And then I want to go in verse 20, and it says, of whom, and he's talked about how Hymenaeus and Alexander, and I don't know if I'm saying those right, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And what so hit me there is, those are consequences. He doesn't deliver them to Satan. He's removed because of the choices they have made. Let's be so careful that we know God never punishes. He is a God that delights to honor and bless us. But when we step away, he cannot step in. His hands are tied. He is a God of truth and cannot lie. And there are consequences we have to pay. But I think what is so important in this is that he said that they may learn. The reason he allows it is the end goal. He wants us all with him. And we need to remember that is his end goal. Verse 3 in chapter 2. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. We have to have an eternal perspective. And remember, God wants what we want, and that is us to dwell with him endlessly and to be exalted. Verse 15, notwithstanding, and I loved this. So he's talking about Adam and Eve and Eve eating the fruit, but I loved this. 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And the reason I have that is that we can only earn exaltation through this workshop of family. There is no one who can humble you to the dust like a child can, like a teenager can. There is no other place that we learn in that workshop to put others before ourselves, to serve endlessly, tirelessly, and to love so wholeheartedly. That's the reason I know how the Savior loves, is because how He has planted that love in my heart for my children. So I loved that. Okay, now I want to go to chapter 4, and we're in verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust the living God. We have to remember the end goal. We are here to be made more, to learn. Verse 12 in chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. And I remember telling you guys the story of one time being so upset with my children and walking to the temple, just crying, so exhausted. It was a Sunday, and I think I was calling them to the table for scriptures, and they were dragging their feet, and some comments were made that were not very kind, and it really felt like I was on one side and my husband and my six children were on the other. And as I walked to the temple, I just cried to the Lord saying, I am so tired of the battle. I am so tired of the fight. And by the time I got to the temple, which was about 2 miles, and I had exhausted myself and had no more words to say, the Spirit then said, and who told you it wasn't a war? And who told you it wasn't a battle? It is, and you knew it. So engage. And I came walking back in the house and said, it is a battle. It is a war. I am the chief. You will get in line. So I loved that. Okay, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. I love that, without ceasing, and remembering his forefathers who did all they did for our good. We are who we are and are allowed the privileges we have for their engaging in this battle. I love that. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 8, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So let's not mistake it thinking we earned this, but according to his purpose and grace, God chose us. He saw in us potential. And I love that we have to remember that we were given this not for something we did, but because of his grace. Chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Are we worried about pleasing God? Is that our goal? That is beautiful. 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver and of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And I just have written there, what are you made of? Are you of the earth, or are you a treasure? Are you gold and silver? And here to honor God and shine his light. I love that. Chapter 3, verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. And the words have come into my head many times lately. They have been bountifully taught in your home, Aaron. We know. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This journey, Elder Eyring once said, if you don't feel you're trudging uphill, then you're not walking the path. Should feel like a battle and a war and tiring. 14, but continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That is just beautiful. Continue. Then chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Verse 9, do thy diligence. 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. The word is continue. Remember, the reward is after this life, and everything we suffer here, the Lord will make up for, but it is through the suffering we are refined and made to be who he needs us to be so that we can live with him forever in a fullness of joy. I love that message. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.